Today's reading begins in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward, and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and had set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing, there is too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemies said, "They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other, and each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night, and may labor by day." So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. Now there arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, "With our sons and our daughters we are many, so let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive." They were also those who said, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of the famine." And there were those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, our children as their children, yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it is not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards." I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. I took counsel with myself, and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. I said to them, "You are exacting interest, each from his brother." And I held a great assembly against them and said to them, "We, as far as we are able, have bought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us." They were silent and could not find a word to say. So I said, "The thing that you are doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies? Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting of interest. Return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses, and the percentage of money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been exacting from them." Then they said, "We will restore these and require nothing from them. We will do as you say." And I called the priests and made them swear to do as they had promised. I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, So may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor those who do not keep this promise. So may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did as they promised. So the work is continuing on the wall, and you have those in the area that do not want to see the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt, so much so that they decide that perhaps they would take an armed force against them. But the Lord is with his people and their efforts, and they divide their labor in order to provide those that are watching over the ones that are working and watching at night. And the enemies end up discovering that, hey, our plans have been thwarted. But then the people are faced with another problem, this problem of a famine. There's not enough food, and they're having to borrow money in order to purchase grain. But the problem is that in this borrowing of money, they are basically selling themselves into debt slavery, and then their vineyards and such are not available anymore because they're being taken by the creditors. So Nehemiah addresses two things. First of all, that they are taking these fields, these vineyards, and that wasn't right. That needed to be returned so these people have some way of supporting themselves and having food. The second is they were charging interest. That was forbidden under the law at the time. There was no rightful way for them to charge interest to their Jewish brethren. You can see that in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 25. If they did indeed sell themselves into debt slavery, then the law also stated that they must be released when the debt is paid or at the end of 7 years or in the year of Jubilee. All of those situations would release them from that debt slavery. But when all of this has been hashed out and figured out, then the people not only agree with it, but they praise the Lord, which was rightful. They praise the Lord for the laws that they were going to follow. Praise the Lord for his providence in helping them from their enemies. And praise the Lord that they were able to figure things out to the point that they can be brethren and not be divided. These are all important things for us to think about. For as the family of God today, we should be even closer. We should be even more concerned about each other. And so this can teach us some precepts about helping each other without an expectation of making some sort of a profit over it. Thank you for listening to these things, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.